Tonight I want to ask you a question. It's the sermon of my, or the title of my sermon. I don't really have 3 points or anything like that tonight. I have a couple illustrations, but I want to revolve my message tonight just about around one question. And that question is, where are you plugged in? Where are you plugged in? Where do you get your power from? Why do you do what you do? What keeps you going for God? If we're not careful, we'll be plugged into the wrong source, and when trouble comes, we'll lose our commitment, we'll lose our zeal, we'll quit. And so tonight, I just want to revolve around that one question, where are you plugged in? I'm going to give you some illustrations. As I mentioned, we're going to turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 13 in just a minute. So if you want to get back there in your Bibles, that's where we're going to go next. But I want to start off with an illustration. I've told this story before, but it perfectly illustrates that you need to know where you're plugged in. Man had a motorhome. And by the way, this is a true story. I cannot remember who told it to me. I think it was my father-in-law. It sounds like a story that he would latch on to and share with me. But a man had a motorhome, and he decided to convert it so that it would run on natural gas as opposed to gasoline. But the problem was the natural gas tank wouldn't fit where the gasoline tank was, but it would fit where the waste tank was. So he just switched them. He took the waste tank, you know, where the kitchen water and the bathroom stuff, and he put that where the gasoline tank was, and then he put this tank that he's going to store his natural gas in where the waste tank was. So worked fine. One night he drove in late to a campground. He just drove in, and they went to bed. They didn't set up or anything, just went to bed. And real early in the morning, he thought he heard a noise, but didn't hear it go on, and so he just went back to sleep. So about 8, 9 o'clock, somebody comes knocking on his door, and it was the guy that was parked next to him, and he said, "Hey, somebody tried to steal your gasoline last night." And the guy said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, they opened your gas tank, and they stuck a hose down that gas tank, and they started sucking on it, you know, to get the siphon going. But for some reason, they just ran away." And the guy said, "Well, let's go see." So they go around to where the gasoline tank was supposed to be. And sure enough, there was a hose stuck down there. And there was a gasoline can sitting there. And they sort of followed the trail. It went over about 10 feet. And there were, let's see, how can I say this and be civilized? There was some regurgitation on the ground. And they walked another 10 or 15 feet, and there was more regurgitation on the ground. And so the point of that story is that guy thought, I know Adam's sitting back there, "Oh, Dad." "Oh, Dad." Sometimes I embarrass him. But the point of the story is that man did not know what he was plugged into. I can see it's going to be hard to get you back. He didn't know what he was plugged into. He thought he was getting one thing, and he got something else. So tonight, the question again, where are you plugged in? Now, take your Bibles with me. Turn back to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1, and then we'll go down to read verse 7 through 11. Genesis chapter 13. Here's what the Bible says. "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south." Then go down to verse 7. "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, 'Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. You know the story. Lot picked the plain toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He moved to Sodom, that wicked city. I mean, the sin of sodomy, the sin of homosexuality is still named after that city. And by the way, it's still an abomination to God. God loves the homosexual. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. God hasn't changed. It's still an abomination to him. And you remember the story. God came down with a couple of his angels, and they came and ate lunch with Abraham. And God said, I'm going to tell, or his name was still Abram at that point. He says, I'm going to tell Abram what I'm going to do. I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and if it's as wicked as I hear, I'm going to destroy it. And he told Abraham that. And Abraham begged for Sodom because his Lot nephew was living there. And again, you know the story. I won't take time to tell it. But he said, Lord, you're righteous. You won't destroy the righteous with the wicked, will you? And God said, of course I won't. And Abraham got it down to 10 righteous people in Sodom. If there were 10 righteous people in Sodom, then God would not destroy the city. He would spare it. But you know, as you know, he didn't find the 10 righteous people there. When the angels were getting ready to destroy the city, the Bible says they took Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and they pulled them out of the city to safety. Again, you that know the story know that Lot's wife turned back. She didn't want to leave. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. And so Lot fled with his two daughters. And you know that his life, even after that, I mean, and by the way, I believe Lot was saved. There's a verse in the Bible. In fact, I have it in my notes here in 2 Peter chapter 2. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. Not just Lot, because it was Lot and his two daughters, but just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Here was a righteous man. Here was, in our terminology, a saved man, a just man. I believe Lot will be in heaven when we get to heaven. But he moved into the city of Sodom. He got hooked up with sinners. And by the way, I'll tell you again, when you get hooked up with sinners, some people think, well, I'll be able to raise them up. You do not raise sinners up. They pull you down. And I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't have anything to do with them. You need to witness to them. But I'm saying be careful. Don't run with sinners. The good apples don't make the bad apple good. The bad apple makes the good apples bad. That's the way it works. And Lot got mixed up with the people in Sodom. His life turned was wrecked. You know that after God saved him from the city of Sodom, his two daughters, they went to live in a cave. His two daughters got him drunk. He slept with them. His two daughters had children by their father. And yet here was a righteous man. Here was a man that was saved. What happened? What happened? I mean, when he was with his uncle Abraham, he was a good man. When he was with his uncle Abraham, he obeyed God. When he was with his uncle Abraham, he listened to God and kept God's commandments. I mean, just think about it. The same things that Abraham is known for, his faith in leaving Ur of the Chaldees, well, Lot went with him. He left home. He left everything that he knew. He didn't know where God was leading him. I mean, he took that same step of faith that Abraham did to go at God's command. And God blessed him because of his obedience. In fact, in this chapter, the part we didn't read in verses 5 and 6, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. I mean, Abraham was not only rich because of the blessings of God, but so was Lot. And it was in direct response, God's response to his obedience, that God blessed him. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Lot was plugged in to Abraham and not plugged in to God. Lot walked with God because Lot walked with Abraham. Oh, and by the way, you couldn't walk with Abraham without walking with God, because Abraham walked with God. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Abraham walked with God because the two of them agreed. And Lot walked with Abraham because the two of them agreed. And Lot was walking with God through Abraham. And again, he was a good man. You couldn't walk with Abraham and be a bad man. Couldn't do it. Because Abraham walked with God. That's why, and it's not in my notes, I'll just throw it in for nothing tonight. If you're going to decide who to hang with, don't hang with sinners. Find somebody that's godly and hang with them. They're going to pull you up. They're going to get you closer to God. Find somebody that reads the Bible and hang around them. Find somebody that comes to church every time the doors open and hang around them. Make them your friends. They'll pull you up. And that's what Abraham did to Lot. Lot walked with him. Look, you couldn't walk with Abraham and not walk with God. You couldn't walk with Abraham and ignore God. You couldn't walk with Abraham and lose your temper, because it was displeasing to God. You couldn't walk with Abraham and not pray. You couldn't walk with Abraham and not worship God. And when Lot walked with Abraham, he did every one of those things. But when they were separated, when their servants started fussing with each other, and Abraham said, hey, look, we're brethren, we shouldn't fuss like this. We're bad testimony to the people around us. And by the way, when we fuss with each other, we're a bad testimony to the people around us. And Abraham said, look, when we're fussing with each other, the people here, they don't know God. What are they going to think about God? Our arguing reflects on God. And he said, let's separate. And when they separated, because Lot was plugged into his uncle instead of being plugged in to God, he lost what he had. He lost the power that he had to do right. He lost the discernment that he had to do right. He lost the ability to make the right decisions. And the Bible says when he moved to Sodom, he vexed his righteous soul. And you just look at his life from the time he left Abraham, it went down and down and down and down and down and down. And you look at Lot at the end of his life, and I think when he went to heaven, he stood before God with his head bowed because the shame and reproach he brought on the name of God in the sin that he committed, because he wasn't plugged in to the right place. He was plugged into a man, a good man, a man that walked with God, but a man when he was separated from, he lost what he had. So let me ask you tonight, where are you plugged in? Let me just ask you, why do you read the Bible? Why do you read the Bible? Some of you that are still at home, that are children, say, well, I read the Bible because mom and dad make me read it. We sit down every night and we have devotions and we read the Bible. Okay, but why do you read it? You know what? I wish we can instill in every little child in this church a love for the Word of God. I mean, I wish we could instill in every little boy and every little girl that they would love this book more than any other book in their life. And they would just pick it up and read it. Say, preacher, I don't think that can be done. I do. I think God could do it if we do what we're supposed to do as moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas. Instill the love. And I wish we could instill the love of this book. So why do you read the Bible? Why do you? Well, I got to read it because my wife expects me to read it. Or I got to read it because my husband expects me to read it. You're plugged into the wrong place. Plugged into the wrong place. Why should we read the Bible? I'll tell you why we should read the Bible. This is God's Word. I mean, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, has given us a book that tells us how to live. The one that made us and created us. The one that created husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and children. He tells us in this book how to live. Why wouldn't we want to spend time in this book? Why wouldn't we want? I was flying home from Martinsburg yesterday, and I was with a friend from work, Mark. Just the two of us. We're the only two in first class. Everybody else was in the back of the plane. So I pulled my Bible out, and the stewardess, it was an older lady, she came over and she sat down beside me. And she said, "What are you reading?" I said, "I'm reading the Bible." She said, "Do you like to read it?" I said, "I love to read it." She said, "Do you like to read it through?" I said, "Yeah, I like to read it through." She says, "I've read it through 2 times already this year." I said, "Man, that's good." She said, "How many times you read it through already this year?" I said, "Well, I read it 6 times. She said, "You read it 6 times already through?" I said, "Yeah, but I fly a lot." I fly a lot. And I started on the 7th time when I was sitting on that airplane. I tell you what, we need to love this book, and we need to read it because it was written by our God. Now, I think it's wonderful that you have parents that make you read the Bible. I think it's wonderful if your spouse inspires you to read the Bible. I think it's wonderful if your children inspire you to read the Bible. But listen to me. What are you going to do when they leave? What are you going to do if they're gone? Get plugged in to God. Get plugged in to God. Why do you pray? Well, I got to pray. I mean, all the kids are sitting around the table. We sit down to eat. We got to pray before we eat. Or, you know, we're having our nightly devotions, and, you know, the kids are getting ready to go to bed, so we're going to pray. And again, those are good reasons. If that's the only reason you pray, you ought to do it. But listen, when we pray, we come into the presence of God. You realize that? When we pray, we come into the presence of God. You get to talk to God. I get to talk to God. I mean, I can't call up the president, talk to him anytime I want. I can't call up the CEO of General Motors. He won't take my call. I mean, I can't call up, if I'd even want to, some actor and talk to him. I can't. I don't have access to him. But you know who I have access to? I have access to somebody that has more power than the President of the United States. I have access to somebody that I want to please more than I want to please the CEO of General Motors. I have access to somebody that's more important to me than any earthly hero. I have access to God. That's why we ought to pray. We have access to God. Why do you do it? What are you plugged into? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to this place? Well, all my friends are here. Well, that's a good reason, I guess. Not the reason we ought to come to church. A few of you might say, well, I like the preacher. I guess that's an all right reason. That's not why you ought to come to church. See, your friends may leave. Your preacher may mess up. And you shouldn't quit coming to church because of that. You see, you ought to come to this church or any church because you want to be with God's people. You want to have the encouragement that comes from them and the love that you feel from them. You ought to come to this place, and by the way, you ought always to go to a church that preaches this book, that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, to remind you what we have in Christ. That's why we ought to come. Where are you plugged in? Where do you get your power at? Why do you do what you do? Are you plugged into God? Or are you plugged in to man? I've known Christians, and you have too, that have lived, they're godly people, and they've lived right, they've loved the Bible, they've prayed, they've come to church, they've witnessed, some of them have been Sunday school teachers, they've sung in the choir, and when their spouse dies, they quit it all. They just quit. I know teenagers, when they've been at home, they've been obedient to mom and dad. They've been involved in the church. They've been involved in their Sunday school class. They've been involved in their youth group. But when they leave home and they leave mom and dad, they forget it all. They turn away from him. I know Christians that have been active in church, doing good, doing right, and then their preacher messes up, and they drop out of everything. Drop out of everything. Just drop out of everything. So I'm asking you tonight, where are you plugged in? Are you plugged into your spouse? Are you plugged into your parents? Are you plugged into your preacher? Hey, it's wonderful to have a godly spouse. It's wonderful to have godly parents. And it's good to have a godly preacher. But you cannot live off of them. You cannot be plugged into them. You cannot get your motivation. You cannot get your power to do what's right from them. They ought to be an encouragement to you. And praise God for husbands and wives that love the Lord and are an encouragement for you to serve the Lord. Praise God for parents that try to teach you and lead you in the right way and instruct you. Praise God for preachers that love their people. And I pray every day, I do not want to be a bad example to anybody. I do not want to lead somebody astray. But listen, I'm a human being just like you are. I don't want you to get your power from me. I don't want you to do what you do because of me. I don't want you to do it because of your parents. I don't want you to do it because of your husband or wife. I want you to do it because you want to serve God. I want you to do it because you're plugged into Him. I want you to do it because you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you and you're drawing your power from Him. So that when things happen as they will, when people leave our lives as they do, when our relationships change, and when things happen, we don't walk away from God, we stay plugged into Him. So, get plugged into the right place. Get plugged in to God. Now, I got to hurry. I'm going to tell you another story and then I'm going to quit. Years ago, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the seagulls started dying by the thousands. And so the environmentalists, and they went wild. They said, somebody is killing all the seagulls. So they gathered up a couple of seagulls that were dead and they did some autopsies. And they ran every test in the book. They found no poison. They found no cancer. They found no other sickness that would account for all these birds dying. In fact, they couldn't find anything wrong. The only thing found wrong was all these birds had died of malnutrition. They starved to death. I mean, there they were, living on the ocean, plenty of fish and shrimp and other stuff in the ocean, and they starved to death. And it was a mystery. Nobody could figure out why all these birds were dying of malnutrition because seagulls eat anything. I mean, you've seen them. They'll eat us. Well, they'll eat anything. I've already gone into too much detail tonight, so I won't go into any detail. But they'll eat anything. And nobody could figure out why all these birds were dying until one day a person that had lived there a long time came to the authorities and says, I think I know why the seagulls are dying. And they said, well, why is that? None of the experts could figure it out. None of the, you know, the veterinarians, none of the environmentalists, nobody can figure out how come you know. He said, well, I think I got an idea. I got a theory. I think here's why they're dying. See, there used to be a shrimp plant right out there on the coast. And the shrimpers would bring their boats in and sell their shrimp. And the plant would just discard in the ocean all the scraps. And the seagulls would come and they'd gather around the place in the plant where they threw all the scraps out and they would eat. They would feed on the scraps. They would feed on the garbage, so to speak, of this plant. And the plant closed. And I think the seagulls have forgotten how to hunt food. How to find food. They had become so dependent on eating the scraps that came from this plant, they had forgotten how to fish. Sad story. But sadder still when the same things happen. The same thing happens to Christians. Grandpa and grandma goes on to heaven. and their grandchildren quit God. Children move away from dad and mom, and they quit God. Your spouse dies, and you quit God. Preacher moves away or messes up, and you quit God. I want to remind you to God tonight. Angie talked about it in her song, sung about it in her song. God never quits on us. Never does. Never does. Never does. I talked about this morning, we take our fellowship with Him so for granted. So for granted. So for granted. We take it so for granted. We take our fellowship with God so for granted. God turns His back, as we talked about this morning, on His Son for just a moment. And Jesus suffered the worst part about hell, forsaken by God. And yet we take it so for granted. So tonight, as I close, where are you plugged in? Where are you plugged in? Why do you do what you do? Again, it's wonderful to have people in your lives that encourage you to serve God, but don't be like Lot and be plugged into them. Go right to the source. Go right to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the simple lessons that are in this book. And I pray, Father, that we would not draw our strength from another person. We would not draw our motivation from another person. We would not draw doing right from another person. And Father, I'm so glad that You put people in our lives that encourage us and they instruct us and they point us in the right direction. But Father, I pray that we would not plug in to them, but we would plug in to You. Father, thank You for the privilege that we have of being able to come to You directly and, Father, have the Holy Spirit and know His power and know His instruction, know His guidance. And I pray, Father, that again, we would plug into Him, not any other person. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, tonight You would help them see their sin. You would help them see the penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But Father, You would help them see the cross. You would help them see the One who bore all our sin to Calvary, died, suffered hell, suffered being forsaken by You to pay the price for our sins. And Father, I pray tonight that they would see that's their only hope and they would come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us. I pray we'd be obedient as You speak and we do what You tell us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.